And just touching upon one of those players that he talked about in the interview is Murphy Ambrose, the young kid from Xavier College. We believe a very good athlete, a very good 800-metre runner in junior days, and certainly one to look forward to in his VFL debut this afternoon. Team sheets are in, so we'll go through the Coburg changes as they've come to hand. They've made 7 changes from the side which lost to the Casey Scorpions by 42 points back in round 4, their last fixture. Into the side come Nick Carnell back from suspension, Adam Patterson, Jared Oakley-Nichols, Jordan McMahon, Jack Revolt, Cleve Hughes and Murphy Ambrose for his VFL debut. In addition to that...
Now, Chris, are we going to refer to Jared Oakley-Nichols as John today in the call?
If you want.
Okay.
Oakley-Nichols for mine, John for you if you wish.
I'll be using John because it's easier.
I was going to say, in addition to that too...
What about Jay?
Both Shane Edwards and Jay Schultz played last week for Richmond, having played for the VFL side, Coburg, in round 4, so they come back whence they came this round as well. So ringing the changes today are Coburg, and out of the side go Putt, Allen, Raines, Cousins, Pettifer, Cotchin and Simmons from that side, which lost to Casey Scorpions. Nick?
Yes, Tristan.
Oh, Tristan.
Tristan's getting better and better. Rip Van Winkle just puts the pillow behind him there, gets the sleep out of his eyes.
Just the first time being here, I'm just not just accustomed to these surroundings, you know.
Is it first time nerves, Nick? Is that the
issue,
is it?
Yeah, in Coburg, I think it is. Big crowd in here. We've got a few lovely ladies next to us doing the stats for the Quarter Cannons, and yeah.
Well, we've also got Phil Pearce, part of the broadcast. We'll probably send him down to do some roving work and watch some of that ABC action, as he loves getting up and amongst it with the boys.
He loves his burras too.
We don't have another microphone here today to have a quick chat to Phil, but mate, we'll get you on when we get that roving mic back. So Benny's just given us 5 minutes before we speak to Gavin Brown. Because I mentioned Collingwood?
Yes.
I have another 0 on my dream team, thanks to McCaffer being dropped. So that's not good for me going into this week's game.
That will, as far as I'm concerned, teach you a lesson for bothering about the dream team in the first place, won't it?
Oh, mate, I've had enough. I bet Nick next to me, which was all right by about 3 points, but it creates a bit of interest, doesn't
it? Yeah, I'm 4 losses in a row. Hopefully I'll get my first win this week. I'm sitting 3rd last or second last.
Actually, I know this might sound silly, but actually, apart from yourself, who can sit there and watch 15 games of football on the weekend all live.
I am an unusual specimen.
Yeah, it actually gives you something to actually have an interest in the actual games other than just the result. You actually, you know, you hear someone in your dream team, you go, oh, that's 4 points, or that's a silly clanger, and, you know, you start to coach your side, but... interesting, McCaffer. I know you haven't gone through the Collingwood missions there, but I was just doing my numbers here. And Brett McCaffer, who was the leading forward in this competition last year for Collingwood, playing out of position in the AFL, but I thought he did all right. I was pretty unlucky to get dropped.
Particularly in the forward line, which wasn't getting much help from its midfield. McCaffer, this season, both at AFL and VFL level, he's had to push up towards the wing a lot more. The return of a lot of tall forwards at Collingwood, John Anthony, both at AFL and VFL level, Danny Stanley, another, means that McCaffer plays a different role from what we saw last year.
I just don't think he fits into that Collingwood team. He just doesn't look like he suits as soon as he gets up there.
But I reckon he came out of... I reckon they could have played him out of the goal square. One thing that
Playing Shaw out of the goal square.
They're playing Rocker out of the goal square for a lot of Monday nights.
Well, if we've got Collingwood fans tuning in who don't get to the VFL, Brent McCaffer is actually a mid-sized player who can actually mark the contested football quite well. I've been rather impressed by his ability to actually create a contest, even if he doesn't mark
it. So good body.
I thought with all the injuries for Collingwood, especially their forwards, who have they lost? They've lost Rocker,
Leon, Davis, Didak.
Thomas is out as well this week.
Fraser.
Phrases out. So there's some avenues to goal that they wouldn't usually have, and I would have thought McCaffer could have been used in a different option at senior level this weekend, and maybe play him out of the goal square or out of that forward pocket and let him have a one-on-one contest with his opponent.
I don't want to diverge too much from the issue, but I think also Anthony Rocker being in the side on Monday night probably meant that McCaffer wasn't going to have that role leading back towards the goal square. It is interesting to notice, though, when you watch Collingwood play, not so much at VFL level, but at AFL level, they tend not to rotate the number of players that go back to the goal square so much. They do tend to have a standout full forward. John Anthony would have done it last week, I suspect, except for the fact that he was suspended. But
wasn't that a silly suspension?
Yeah, but it was a silly thing to do.
I was there, but...
That's sort of... I was there. It was definitely... I was saying that it was just...
Silly little act, wasn't it?
Why would you?
For those who missed out, he headbutted... Scott Thompson of the Kangaroos in the generals round six and missed out for a week.
What's your brain pattern to think of that?
I don't think it is much of a brain pattern going on, Kane. That's why he managed to connect head with groin.
Yeah, but like, what would possess him to do it? Ben's getting ready for Gavin Brown. We know they're tight for time, Jimbo. So we'll cross down now to Ben Taylor with Collingwood coach.
Good on you, Kane. Yeah, look, I've got Gavin Brown here. Gav, welcome again, mate. Another day, another challenge, and you guys in good form.
No, we have been the last couple of weeks. And there's always an influx of new players particularly this week. So, it's going to be a challenge for us because we know Coburg are obviously a very good side.
Yeah, well, not too many people would have expected you to beat Box Hill last week, but a really dedicated effort, four-quarter effort, and you got the points with Chris Dawes kicking five.
Yeah, look, almost put to a man. The boys were terrific. They were very disciplined. Their work rate was really high. Made some really good decisions and put it all together on the day, so it was really pleasing.
Chris Bryan's another one, really knocking on the door of selection. Another four goals last week. So be really happy with him.
He was terrific. He's been very good all year, Chris. So when his opportunity comes, I'm sure he'll take it. But he's been terrific. As you said, Dawsey, our key tools were good. As I said before, most of the boys, to a man, played their role, did their job, and played some pretty good footy.
You've got a lot of big forwards down in that forward line, but no bigger than Sean Rosling making his return to senior footy today. Must be right for the guy. He's been a long time out of the game with injury, three shoulder reconstructions, I believe, and to have him back was sensational.
Oh, it's fantastic to have Sean back. His last game was round one last year, so he'd be a little bit toe-in, a bit nervous, but it's fantastic. It's a great story. He's worked really hard after three pretty horrific injuries, so good luck to him today.
A lot of injuries out of the Collingwood side or the AFL side last week, so you're quite right in saying you have thrown your side around a bit. Does that throw the balance out in any way?
No, look, I think the people, the players that are coming in can fulfil those positions and roles, so I don't think that's a real worry. The only difference is they're different faces. We've got eight VFL boys playing today, so one of them gets his first game and the others are playing their second, so it's a great opportunity for those boys as well.
Is Frosty getting a game today? He's played the other week, his first game back.
Yeah, Frosty was terrific last week. So he'll play again today, and he's an exciting player, Frosty, and he gives an enormous amount to us.
Where are you going to win the game today, Gavin? I mean, there's a lot of areas right across the board. You guys have been doing really, really well. Where's the one area that you think you can match Coburg?
Well, one area that we've got to be aware of, obviously, is their pretty potent forward line. They've got some good tools down there and medium, so it's imperative that we should have the capacity to shut them down and then also be able to, as you have to do every week, win the ball in the middle and give your forwards a chance. So I think that's probably where it lies.
Yeah. Pev missing out again today?
Yeah, unfortunately, Pev's he's a bit sore, so he won't play, which is a bit disappointing for us. But, I'm sure we can cover that.
All right, mate. Well, as I've said for a lot during this season, 2009 season, wishing you all the best this afternoon, Gavin. It's good to talk to you, mate.
Thanks very much.
Gavin Brown there, the coach of the Collingwood Football Club. And as I said, boys, Collingwood in very good form at the moment, and he'll be really enjoying what he's seeing at the moment with his young Collingwood side. His second year in the VFL, obviously Collingwood second season. So, yeah, we're ready for this one, fellas, so I'll throw it back up to you.
Smooth stuff, Benny. Good work there, Benny Taylor, with Gavin Brown, the Collingwood coach this afternoon. Full-time score in the TAC Cup game that was the curtain raiser this afternoon in lieu of there being a VFL reserves fixture. And it was the Geelong Falcons, 17 goals, 16, 118. They defeated the Calder Cannons, 6 goals, 7, 43. Playing the game out strongly too, they kicked 5 goals, 6. I think it was 5 goals 6 to 1 goal 1 in the final term for the Calder Cannons, who have really been struggling through players going to trial matches at under 18 level in the national championships for Vic Metro. It is the second week in a row that they have managed a low tally. Last week against 6 goals 7 again they managed against Bendigo, so 6 goals 7 in consecutive weeks there for the Cannons. Now the Collingwood side, we have got the team sheets in front of us now. 6 changes have been made from the side which defeated Box Hill so convincingly last week at Visy Park. Into the side come Danny Stanley following his game in the AFL on Monday night. Jamie Bennell, Brent McCaffrey, we've already talked about. Brent Marnie, who's an in and out on the subs list for the Collingwood side. Sean Rosling back, of course, from his problems with shoulder injuries. And Adam Bashevsky will play his first game of senior VFL football this afternoon. Bashevsky is originally from Mansfield. He was a Murray Bushranger, played in the side which won the TAC Cup Premiership last year. And apparently in his spare time, I'm told, there's a bit of male modelling on the side.
What?
Yep.
How'd you find that out?
I got told from someone who's got links to the Collingwood Footy Club that he does a bit of the male modelling. Not just the hand models, I think he actually does the modelling in clothes and the like.
Like fashion?
Yep.
Okay.
So you've got some competition, Nick.
Oh, jeez. What competition? Do I have another job as well now?
Well, with a beard like that today, mate, I think you're aiming for another job. Those six changes again. Stanley, Benell, McCaffrey, Marnie, Rosling and Bashevsky in. Out the side go Cox, Wood, Ben Reid, Cook, Francis and Peverell. Peverell, of course, saw, as Gavin Brown mentioned from last week's game against Box Hill, Shannon Cox, a badly bruised leg. But one player they're really going to miss is Ryan Cook, whose work rate last week was sensational for the Pies. 17 hand pass receives he managed, 32 possessions in total. Ryan Cook deserves his move up to the AFL this week.
Definitely, I thought he was probably about a week or two stiff. You know, I think he's been better than Stanley, and Stanley made the call up before him. I just thought maybe just the issues that were happening with Cookie outside of football were preventing him from playing there, but obviously that's not an issue with the call up this week, but I think he's probably been one of their best players for Collingwood.
Yeah, I think it's like right down the line, isn't it? Stanley, Cook, Stanley. They're very similar players. And
but in your opinion,
hold the same. Oh,
tough to choose in the contest between men there, isn't it, Kane?
Oh, the contest between men that you
like
love so much.
Like your dream team, Kane.
You just love so much, Chris. That's what you thrive for, mate. That's what gets you through on the weekends, isn't it? Just the contest between men.
Sadly,
men going at it all day.
Sadly, though, Kane, I can't get as excited about it as Bruce McAvaney does when he's able to call Cyril Rioli delicious on a Monday night.
I'm still waiting for my answer, Kane.
That's how even it is. If I was choosing a dream team, I'd probably go with Stanley.
Okay.
Just. And the only reason for that is because he kicked the four goals, he's versatile, and he just adds a little bit more. But look, at this level, at the VFL, it's a lot slower. Mm. So I don't think we get a genuine guide on
hardness is a bit...
But their actual pace, are they a little bit too one pace? Are they a little bit slow? That's where the question marks come, because quite often you see a player progress through the VFL. Many do the change very nicely. There are some who get caught out, and that's generally just because the pace of the game is a lot faster. And that's where I think both Ryan Cook and Denny Stanley struggle at times.
One thing I'd like to just quickly mention, you're talking about the pace last night. Watching, as we know, I'm a Hawthorn supporter, watching Bo Daly, he was very slow. When he got the ball, he just thought he had so much time. But in the AFL, you don't have that split second. You need to make the quick decision. If you start thinking about it, you're tackled or dispossessed and whatnot, and I just think he's the player that you're talking about, you know, that doesn't go with the transition as well as he should be.
Now, I'll just go back to that in a second, Nick. We have our first text of the afternoon, and to kick us off, as we do most broadcasts, Liz, thank you so much for your text, but she's actually done some good work for us. She's actually a roving reporter at TAC, and I tipped this on the football show. Hopefully it will last. I tipped Frankston to knock off Port Melbourne this afternoon. I thought Frankston's second half against Williamstown was outstanding, and I think that form will continue. They're in front, the Dollies 34 to Port Melbourne 8.
So early days in that game, but a good start from the Dolphins, who have struggled to string together even performances this year. They play in patches, often a good first quarter or last quarter. But here we go, three-quarter time score. Two for North Ballarat. Thank you, Kane, as I choke to death.
Put your drink there, mate. You're going to be all right?
I'll be all right. I'll get through.
I know you will.
I'll battle through.
The contest of men's about to start, and that will get you up and about, I'm sure.
What's going on here? Am I missing something?
I think we're all missing something, Nick.
Yeah, he's missing the contest of men.
I think Kane's missing a chromosome, and the rest of us are missing...
Very crowded in the box this afternoon, isn't it, fellas? We've got the stats guys, the timekeepers. They're all in here.
I can feel you breathing on the back of my neck, Ben. You're that close.
close.
That's not his breathing. That's not him breathing.
No, that's a contrast between men, which I'm sure we'll all get excited about. 3/4 time score from Skills Stadium this morning between North Ballarat and Geelong. The visitors, North Ballarat, were leading by 35 points. 12 goals 8.80 to Geelong 6.9.45. That's 12 goals 8.80 North Ballarat, Geelong 6.9.45. As we mentioned in that text message from Liz, currently Frankston up by 26 points nearing quarter time at Teak Oval. And the battle of the standalone clubs, the VFL standalones between Frankston and Port Melbourne, the other game this afternoon between Bendigo and Williamstown. That game, along with this one at Coburg, begins at 2 p.m. Briefly, boys, we'll go through those other scores, those changes from last week and the sides. Coburg Tigers in from the side which played 2 weeks ago against Casey. Carnell, Patterson, Oakley, Nichols, McMahon, Revolt, Hughes and Ambrose for his first game. Out, Putt, Allen, Raines, Cousins, Pettifer, Cochin and Simmons. While for Collingwood, in comes Stanley, Rusling, Bennell, McCaffer, Marnie, Bashevsky, out go Cox, Wood, Reid, Cook, Francis and Peverell. Jim Hines, you've got something to say.
Yeah, I don't know where this came from, but Coburg Tigers 11-2-68. They've got defeated by Collingwood 18-16-124.
Yeah, I think
that might be the VFL reserve somehow.
No, I think you might find, Jim, that's last week's score from the Box Hill game against Collingwood.
Yes, sir.
Did you bring your stats that you provide on the Saturday morning footy show with you? Because I wouldn't mind going through some of that.
I've got them in the bag.
He does quite a good job, does Jim Hines. He doesn't let us know he's done a good job. He keeps it in his bag, but the man is full of stats. We know he's full of something, and it's definitely the stats. So I will... Well, maybe you want to go through them, because you can understand what each one means. Oh, mate, just give us some stats.
I'll give you the game we're at. Oh, I can't give you the game we're at, because there's only been one game so far between these two teams in this current standard since they joined up as Collingwood again. Last time they met, Coburg Tigers 17-19-121 defeated Collingwood 10-8-68. A 53-point win there to Collingwood, to Coburg Tigers.
Was at this venue too?
At this venue, yes. And what else do you want to know, Kane?
What else you got there, mate? No,
I've got all the stats. So Collingwood's run at the moment, the betters last year's effort. Last year they were 2-3 at this stage. I think they're now 3-2, so that's a better start. And Coburg are just going along nicely. I did make up one...
They're a more direct side this year, though, Collingwood. Yep. They went through a phase of about 7 weeks in a row between rounds 4 and 10 last year when they could not manage more than 10 goals in a game.
That's right.
A side which has been straightened up, more direct in its midfield play as well.
Yeah, from rounds 1 to 6, we're around 6 now, aren't we? So rounds 1 to 5. From 2004 to 2009, Sandringham have got the best start of all the teams, 22 wins and 8 losses, down to Box Hill, who have only won the 5 games and 22 losses, 18.5% win ratio there for Box Hill, where Sandringham's is 73.3. Right in the middle, you've got Collingwood, right on 50% with Werribee, 50%. Werribee winning 13 and losing 13, Collingwood 5-5.
Thank you, Jim Hines. Now, boys, you mentioned about pace of the Collingwood side a few weeks ago. I want to pick up on something which I think will be to Collingwood's advantage this afternoon, and that's foot skills. Collingwood, a bit more assured in their foot skills around the ground. Coburg, they've got a few players that I've described as goers, but sometimes under pressure, and even when they're not under pressure, their kicking skills let them down.
Well, talking about goers, they had a pretty good go at the Casey Scorpions at 3/4 time, didn't they, last time the game was here? That got onto the front news article for the day. And Ben Cousins having security guards, so there's going to be a bit more room on ABD today because the security guards won't be there.
Those three players, though, Cousins, Cochin, Raines. Excellence in their disposal by foot. They're not in the side today. They will not give the same run and precise measurement out of midfield which Coburg could rely on in that game.
Yeah, but they get replaced by players coming back as well. You know, they've got Jared Oakley-Nichols, who's been in pretty good form this year. Jack Riewoldt will add some bite to that forward line. And Shane Edwards. Mm-hmm. Probably hasn't really found his peak fitness yet. Had a real impact, but he was quite deadly off that half-back flank when used... during the season in 2008, so...
Struggled badly last week against the Brisbane Lions.
He was good in the pre-season as well. I thought he was going to have a big year, but obviously there's something happening with him.
Alright, Shane Edwards, he goes hard, keeps his head over the football. And they've got some... You mentioned the hard nuts, they've got some...
probably more of a VFL size too, Shane Edwards.
And, well, you mentioned...
Yeah.
probably suits him, I think, this level a bit better.
He hasn't bulked up as much as he probably could have. He's still got that slim body.
I think the pace and increased number of stoppages, though, probably suit Shane Woods a bit better than it does at the AFL level.
Now, we're talking about skill level of the Coburg Tigers. One player that we haven't brought up during the broadcast is Jordan McMahon.
I've got him penciled in here, Cameron.
He would have to be probably one of the more dangerous by foot, and definitely find some space at this level. You're going to imagine he's going to pick up a lot of the football.
I wonder how much nerves have a part to do with Jordan McMahon's game. A lot of those turnovers he created in AFL games early in the season seem to be where he struggled on the big stage. He was kicking off one step. He was doing things he wouldn't ordinarily do.
He was just trying switches that weren't coming off, definitely.
Things underneath the spotlight, which you suspect he wouldn't ordinarily do on this stage.
And he wasn't running with the ball. When he got the ball, he was just like hesitating, thinking once, twice, and not going with his first instincts. And instead of running with the ball, he just, like you said, one step kick, which he's probably not good at. He's good at running the lines, I think, and kicking it to the half ball line rather than when he was looking to switch and kick it out to the wings when a few of his clangers came about.
Yeah, well, how long has it taken the Geelong Falcons to get off the ground? They mustn't have access to their rooms at the moment there.
No. Collingham might still
Collingham's
be in there.
Got them at the moment, Kane.
And that's Ben Taylor, who's made his way back up from ground level. He'll be working alongside Nick Nikolovsky this afternoon, providing some assistance with the special comments. You'd be used to hearing young Eddie Sadler's voice on a Saturday afternoon, but he's actually doing an Indonesian oral competition for his school. So that's pretty tricky out there in Camberwell, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ducks off and watches the return of Efficient, who's running a 1,200-metre race at Caulfield.
Oh, he loves his horse racing there, Eddie.
He's a very talented young man, is Eddie.
As the Collingwood side make the field, full-time score from that VFL game between Geelong and North Ballarat at Skills Stadium. It was the North Ballarat Roosters by 48 points. 17 goals, 9, 111, defeating Geelong, 9 goals, 9, 63. So North Ballarat, they continue on in what's some good form after a slowish start to the season. They've really found their legs at the right time. They move to 4-1, and at this stage, up to third position on the ladder. For Geelong, meantime, they slip to 1-4 and remain 11th in the 13-team competition. Ben Taylor.
Chris, that's a good win by the Roosters. Did pick that one, but just getting back to the game this afternoon.
You and your tips, Ben.
You
and your tips. Yeah, I don't think you get one wrong.
I'd like to let everyone know how I'm going.
That's an understatement.
We only hear about when he doesn't get them right, though, do we?
No, that's right, Kane.
I don't happen often, that's the point, isn't it?
I do want to talk about something on today's game, though, Kane.
Oh, really?
Chris Pendlebury. Yep. He was really, really impressive a few weeks ago when we saw him, Chris Pendlebury. And it'd be really good to have a look at him run around again today. And, of course, the return of Sean Rusling, Nick. Is
I think Rosling will just be hoping to last more than 5 minutes today, won't he?
Really looking forward.
It's very good to see. Like, I just feel sorry for players that are just prone with injury. He's definitely one of those, and just your heart goes out to him. You know what must be going through his head? Like, geez, once, twice, three, four times, and he just really can't get a few games in a row.
Did anyone pick up the news article about Sean Rusling through the week? It was quite a fascinating read on what he was doing just to get away from the club. He got himself involved with some horse breeding. Spent some time in the US and in Canada. So spent a total of about 3 months away from the club because he got sick of just coming in and standing around because he couldn't do anything. You can train and you can do all the preparation work. The real test is going to come as soon as he lines up on Jared Sylvester, who I imagine will give him a bit of a rough time down there. And the first contest that he'll have will definitely test out Sean Rusling. If he gets through it, through the first quarter, you don't know how much he'll actually spend on the ground today, but they're looking for him to, you know, at least last one quarter.
Yeah, the real confidence boost. It was 14 months ago that he injured that shoulder against Fremantle. That was during the opening term of that opening fixture, too.
Now, Brett Marnie, he goes to the same hairdresser as Damien Peverill. Just have a look at his rug. When you have a look at him, the youngster. Looks like a mini version
Explain
of
it for us, Kane.
Well, you know, everyone knows Damien Peverill's rug. It's a big black mop.
Do you reckon Peverill looks a bit like Fed?
Yes, I was about to say, there's a little bit of the Fed about Damien Peverill, Roger Federer.
Well, they're both moving about the same pace at the moment, aren't they? Roger Federer is just struggling a little bit.
Why isn't he playing today?
Both consummate professionals, though, Kane.
Guys, why isn't Damien Peverill getting a game today?
Well, you tell us, Benny. But the word we got from Gavin Brown was general soreness.
Well, he's not walking too freely across the ground here.
No, he's
looks like a normal walk from here, Kane.
He's standing with Gavin Brown. We should explain in the centre of the ABD Group Stadium, walking down to the end where Collingwood are training and just slowly making his way down there as we speak. Interesting point though, boys. Opening round of the season when Collingwood played against Geelong, they had just one VFL aligned player in their side. That was Chris Pendlebury. As an illustration of how injuries and suspensions have played their part on Collingwood's AFL list so far this season, they now have eight VFL standalone players today.
Definitely, that's a thing with our most club. You see it with Hawthorn, just injuries can be a huge curse. Essendon last year, they were struggling to get a team on board, and we're talking how bad Boxy were playing, because they were playing all these players that have never played at the VFL level.
In fact, eight VFL aligned players for each club this afternoon, two of whom are debutants, as we earlier mentioned, Murphy Ambrose for the Coburg Tigers, and Adam Bashevsky for the Collingwood Magpies.
My man, Bashevsky, I've already named him, and that you've told
more?
Him.
What more does Chris Dawes have to do to get a senior game with the Collingwood AFL side? I mean, five goals last week, three goals the week before.
I think they want to see a pattern of consistent form, Ben. Yep. We've seen Dawes come out and take games apart. I reckon if he backs up again this week and the same injuries are there, he takes those contested marks, you might see Chris Dawes make his way into the AFL side.
Particularly with Mr. Rocker on the way down.
One thing that's probably common with Chris Dawes, I think he, not that he's a front runner, but you see the goals that he kicks, it's when they're in a winning team and they are winning comfortably. You don't see him kicking five goals when they lose by about 5 points or six points. It doesn't really step up, I don't think.
Although fortnight ago against North Ballarat, he was very good.
A few of those goals were lucky goals from the pockets. They weren't lead up marks.
He's a jump time specialist.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
He gets the goals in dead time.
That's what I'm getting at.
He doesn't get the goals when the pressure's on. When he can actually win the game himself, he goes missing at times, Chris Dawes. And it's very easy to go missing on the big flanks of Vizzy Park. He seems to find plenty of space. Mm. Sometimes the ball is away from him.
He's not one of those players who traditionally leads into true centre half forward, is he? He needs to play into that position, really straighten the side up. Last year, McCaffer was doing that role, and we saw Dawes lead wide. But just I reckon there's some signs that he's starting to play towards the role he should be this season.
One thing I do like about Chris Dawes, you see forwards struggle to create their own opportunities. Like, they're good on the lead, but and that's really one-dimensional sort of things. Chris Dawes does have a few different strings to his bow and can often get goals in general play, which really does impress me.
His defensive pressure is really good as well. Once he's out of the contest, his ability to chase and, you know, hold down a tackle, his upper body strength is one of his key areas.
Now, we've talked about Collingwood at length this afternoon. Coburg, though, they just make their way out onto the ground now. A couple of number changes I'm spotting up straight away, which don't make life easy for commentators there. We'll try and spot up who's wearing the number 65 Guernsey.
Pip Patterson, I think it is.
You reckon it might be Adam Patterson? I think you might be right there, Nick. But Coburg, they make their way out onto the ground, as I say. A side which made seven changes and which is a much smaller looking side, isn't it, than Collingwood?
Oh, there's a couple of kids out there.
Yeah.
No, but they are smaller. Look at that. There's about six players all at that 5'10" mark, isn't there?
Just look at Timmy Clark. Has he shrunk a bit?
Never very tall in the first place, Tim Clark. When he arrived at Hawthorn, he was about 65 kilos ringing wet, and he's still not much heavier today.
One concerning feature I've noticed today is that the crowd's shrunk.
Yeah.
The under-18s have finished, and a lot of the crowd have gone home.
We do see with Collingwood's VFL fixtures, usually their numbers come out and support, and it does seem, again this afternoon, it's a fairly Collingwood-heavy crowd here at the ABD Group Stadium. Smallish at the moment.
There's a general hatred, though, between Coburg and Collingwood, isn't there, traditionally?
No, I think there's a hatred from all clubs against Collingwood.
700 or 800 mark at the moment. We hope that it builds up, but a lot of Collingwood scarves around at present.
Phil would probably be better to answer that, or Jim, who's got a little bit more experience than myself, but I think In the heyday, I think Coburg and Collingwood were traditional rivals.
I don't know how they could have been, considering they were matched, they were formed at the same time and only played against each other for 3 or 4 years in the 1890s.
No, but there's Preston hates Carlton.
Yeah,
and they've merged because Carlton kept taking all the Preston players and not spending the money on the club.
Coburg, though, used to be part of Carlton's old recruitment zone.
Yeah, okay.
So that's where a lot of the players used to go. Phil Cleary, of course, who we've had on before, the Coburg legend, he started off playing in Carlton's under-19s before moving to Coburg's side. So Robert Wall's another one from this area. So I think it's more probably Coburg and Carlton who have a rivalry, in the same way that South Melbourne and Port Melbourne used to have a fight over players back in the day.
Oh, I'm not just commenting on that. I think probably Carlton and Coburg have more of a rivalry.
Thank you.
Or a blend.
There's a bit of silence there, Chris.
So yes.
I, just having a bit of a look.
Adam, I'll just tap this microphone to see if it's on, Benny.
Adam Patterson, as Jade Rawlings said, will be looking after the ruck duties today. I had about three goes at it, and I still wasn't right, so he's got a big job today against Lachlan Keith. And, of course, Chris Bryan will be doing some of the around-the-ground stuff. So there's a contest to look out for. Chris Bryan, obviously in good form, and Lachlan Keith in his debut season.
He's my boy.
I just wonder with the only the one selected ruckman this afternoon for Coburg in Patterson, whether we might see Nat Caruso go into that swingman role to try and help out in ruck. He did it a lot during the 2007 season when Coburg made the VFL Grand Final. You might remember he was brutally cleaned up by Tim Callan running off the square Grand Final.
Well, we definitely know Cleve Hughes won't be using the ruck today.
No.
Jade Rawlings made that quite clear.
Very clear, didn't it? Pre-match.
I did, I said around the grounds. I didn't.
Well, it happens, middle, mate. It happens.
That's all right.
Well, we didn't know the team sheets at the time, Benny, so we didn't know whether Dean Putt would be playing or not. He's not this afternoon.
I went on your knowledge, Chris.
Benny, I didn't know the team sheets.
I did hear Dean Putt's name mentioned before we went to air, so when it came out, I was like, Chris, you've set him up there.
I have set him up.
I might just start choosing names out of the record for Ben and just start dropping some blokes the coach doesn't even know.
But it was an early start down at ABD Group Stadium for me this morning. Got down here at about 11 o'clock. Woke up in sunny Hadfield this morning. So just made the 10-minute trip down to the ground this afternoon. So.
Would you care to explain to the listeners, please, Ben, and enlighten them as to why you're in Hadfield this morning?
This is a G-rated preview.
We can get a G-rated answer, I reckon.
We don't need
too much. Just had a night out, and it was a good night. I'm focused on the footy this afternoon.
Good hot
so
cup of tea, and you've arrived for the footy ready to go this afternoon.
Pardon?
Good hot cup of tea.
Bit of Earl Grey.
Bit of Earl Grey, or the English breakfast was it for you this morning, Benny?
We're going to try and fire Nico up.
He's
just easing himself into it, aren't you?
I am. I'm
just
easing
coming
myself
to
into
the
it.
Boil. He's just bubbling away in preparation for match time, which is just 4 minutes away.
Are we there where it counts the most, guys?
Boys, yes. Where's this game going to be won and lost? Who?
In the midfield, I've got notes down. I think Coburg are probably a lot stronger in the midfield. I've got players. They can rotate a lot of players through there. McMahon, King, Caruso, Carnell, Tim Clark as well. I think the Collingwood team, in regards to Blair, Stanley, Dick might go in their rounds, and Frost may struggle in that midfield with the likes of Peverell. He's a much maligned player, but he's very skillful.
Dick was critical against that loss to North Ballarat. Almost won them the game with three goals in that last quarter, so... Big golf snake.
He was impressive, Brad Dick, that week.
Thank you. Coburg have won the toss. Kane Pollard's telling me and kicking towards the northern end or the Bell Street end here at ABD Group Stadium this afternoon.
So that's
on
Bell
ABC
Street
TV.
End,
that is the Bell Street end up there, yep.
Yep, and ABC TV, that would be to the left of
and
screen.
What's this end?
The Harding Street or Grandstand end is at the southern end or right hand of TV screen.
Phil Pearce,
that's right, southern end.
This morning, all the dimensions of this lovely ground, so.
Now, where is Phil?
We're set.
Phil, he's gone to watch today, he's gone down to watch Port Melbourne.
Yes,
he can't get away from it, can he?
Phil has gone down to watch his beloved Burrows as they try
so
and reel back
here.
A deficit against Frankston.
He'll come to the football just to be a part of the broadcast team, which we love so dearly, but he'll still go and watch Port Melbourne and miss this game, come out at three-quarter time and go, well, actually, I'm at Coburg.
That's what we love him for. That's what we love the big fella for.
Now, what about Liz sending us a score update, please, if you can? That'd be great, because we don't have access to that live score.
I was just going to say, boys, on Nick's point, I actually think it will be the midfield. I'm going to go the other way, though. I'm going to go with Collingwood victory this afternoon. I think they're quite strong. I think they're in form. Their ball use has improved greatly this season. They move the ball better around the packs and out of the centre, and I think they'll have too much run up to their tall forwards.
Yeah, well, up forward, Chris, you mentioned... A lot of goal kickers, and Dawes and Brian and Stanley back in the side this afternoon. That's going to be a tough ask for the Coburg defenders.
Geez, looks like Jay Schultz is starting in the back line here. He might be a loose man of some sort, because there seems to be more than six players there waiting on that back flank for Coburg.
Yes, so you're tipping.
I'm going Collingwood.
Nick?
We've got...
No, I'll go Coburg.
And I'll go the Coburg Tigers.
Kano?
I'm going Coburg as well, easily.
Three for Coburg, one for Collingwood this afternoon. The 2-2 Coburg Tigers up against Collingwood, who sit in 3-2, having not had the bye yet this season. VFL action, round 6 on KC Radio, 97.7 FM. Adam Patterson is wearing the number 65 jumper, not as was selected this morning.
And Hislop's on 78, if anyone can pick us up here at ABD. But Rusling, doesn't it just look ugly, the long sleeve Collingwood jumper? It's not Rusling, it's Brian.
Brian and Dawes.
Where's Rusling? Is Rusling must be on the bench.
No, he's not on the bench, Kane.